Yeah, everybody's doing well. Thank you for asking. How about you guys?
We're doing very well. Thank you for asking. We appreciate that. Tim, let's talk about Bob Brooks. That was a tough one. What kind of blow is that up front for the Eagles?
I mean, you can't really oversell how important Brandon Brooks has been to that offensive line. He has been not just steady but dominant as the right guard, pairing alongside Lane Johnson at right tackle. I mean, that's arguably the best right side in the entire NFL. They also work off of one another extraordinarily well, and so to lose Brooks is to say that the offensive line for the Eagles is going to be worse in 2020. I guess if there's a bright side here, it's if you're going to have a position go down along the offensive line, you could argue that guard is probably the position that you would say that you would want to have happen if one were to happen. I mean, tackle's tough, center's tough to replace, and so they're going to try their best to patchwork it. But, you know, Carson Wentz, is definitely not better off for Brandon Brooks being down.
You said patchwork. I mean, what are some of the potential options there?
Well, they're exploring a multitude of options right now, and they haven't really taken anything off the table. In terms of something that they could do in-house is have Matt Pryor step in. Now, he was the guy that stepped in during the Seahawks playoff game and did pretty well in Brooks' absence. And if they want to go outside, I don't think that they're going to be spending big money. I mean, they're already kind of conscious of the cap in 2021. So I don't think you're going to be seeing a splash move there. But one possibility is bringing back Jason Peters into the fold, because that would serve two purposes for you. One, he stated last summer that he would at least be open to the idea of playing guard in the twilight of his career. So maybe he offers a solution there. And the other part of that is Andre Dillard is taking over for him presently at left tackle, and this would give the Eagles an insurance policy in case Dillard doesn't kind of live up to it. And so I think that's one thing that's at least remains on the table, and we'll see which direction the Eagles choose to go in.
Are you surprised in any way that Jason Peters is not a part of the fold yet, or is it really expected that it would take, they'd make a decision later rather than sooner?
No, I'm not all that surprised. I mean, football is still a little ways off, and we don't know when football exactly is going to resume or what it's going to look like. And I think when they originally decided that they were going to let Peters test free agency, it was with the idea that he was going to sign with another team and they were going to try to move forward with their former first-round pick and Dillard at left tackle. And now, situation is different. I mean, because you lost a guard and because Peters to this point remains on the market, that was a little bit unexpected. And so I think what happens is if it gets to a point, I know that Peters wants to be here, and if it gets to the point where it makes sense for the Eagles financially and now even more so from a football perspective, I mean, that increases the odds that something could happen.
Okay, so when you look at the Eagles going into this camp, just give me just a general idea. What do you like and what would make you uneasy? And we know, obviously, outside of COVID, COVID's going to make everybody uneasy. But, I mean, I'm talking personnel-wise.
Sure. Well, I think one thing is, generally speaking, it appears that they are better in the skill position players than they were from a year ago. That's in part because Deshaun Jackson is coming back healthy, and also because they invested, whether it be Marquise Goodwin or using a first-round pick on Jalen Reagor at wide receiver. Looks like they have beefed that up, which should mean that a more explosive offense for Carson Wentz to use. And Miles Sanders is really coming into his own, and I think is on a star trajectory in this league. And so I think offense, you have to generally, even with this Brooks injury, feel pretty good about where they are. And I would say that the defensive secondary, it's almost like they gave some up, but they also lose some in terms of on the back end with Malcolm Jenkins going to the New Orleans Saints. I mean, he's not just the defensive backfield leader or the defensive leader. I mean, he was the team leader. And so how do you replace that? But on the positive side, you have Darius Slay coming over for Detroit, which should make your cornerback situation a little bit better. And so there's a couple positions that are up in the air, safety being one of them, linebacker being another. But I think that overall they stack up pretty well with the rest of the NFL in terms of overall talent and roster building.
I get different opinions about Andre Dillard. What's yours?
My opinion is that he had an up-and-down first season. And when I talk to people in the building, you have varying opinions on kind of how he's going to pan out or whether he's ready. And there are definitely people inside the building that have their concerns about whether he is ready and ready, whether he is the man to kind of be at left tackle, you know, for the considerable future. So I would say that everyone agrees that the talent is there, that, you know, that these kinds of talents are not all that abundant, and that he has a skill set, especially as a pass protector, that you have to be encouraged by and that are hard to find. But at the same time, whether he has the sort of aggressive mentality to be a long-term fixture as an outstanding left tackle is still to be determined. So it sounds like he's added some weight and muscle this offseason, which will help cure one of his biggest problems last year, which was overall strength, to be expected coming out of college to a certain degree. And this is kind of a huge year. And also, you know, he's getting thrown out there being Carson Wentz's blindside. So, you know, so it's a bit of a gamble, but I guess the stronger voices in the room believe that he can make a leap in year two, and they're going to put their faith in that.
All right, so this is a year with no OTAs, mini camps, anything like that. If everything goes according to schedule, late in July, they'll get to report. What kind of test is this going to be? Should everything go okay? And we have to preface it with that. What kind of test is this going to be to the need for OTAs and minicamps?
I think that's a good question. I mean, one thing that I've spent part of this offseason doing is talking to trainers that are with these guys during the course of the offseason, and there's been caution that has come out of the majority of them about this kind of ramp-up period that we could end up seeing in late July into the season, and that's that these guys have had a very untraditional offseason, that they even the ones that have been training rigorously still haven't been training up to their normal standards that they would get with a more kind of constructed offseason. And so I think that the one thing that you have to worry about, not just with the COVID stuff, but physically from a health perspective, and how many guys you can kind of get to the starting line and how careful you're going to have to be. And the second part of that is chemistry. And I think that you are going to see kind of a sloppier product to start because you had the absence of any kind of formal get-togethers this offseason. And I think from the Eagles' perspective, maybe they have a bit of a leg up, and I know that certainly they feel like they do, because they're the only team in the NFC East that has a returning head coach and coaching staff. The right. Other three teams change their coaching personnel. And so they feel like that's going to be a benefit to them in this very unusual offseason.
Yeah, no question. No question about that. They do have that stability and the stability of quarterback as well. So when you look at, I want to ask about Jalen Hurts. This is an interesting case because it sounds like Doug wants to play him in some capacity. How did you view Jalen Hurts, and what do you think he can do?
I was definitely surprised by the pick. I still have some concerns as to how it's going to play in a city like Philadelphia that is just so media intensive. If Wentz ends up having, you know, a bad game or two, and Jalen Hurts comes in some kind of capacity and really lights it up, then you know, is there going to be, even if it's a media born controversy, is there going to be one? So there are some potential pitfalls from this move. I think the upside for them is that it gives them a quarterback that they really think has a high ceiling that can develop under Carson Wentz, and they won't be caught flat footed if Wentz goes down to injury. They feel like they kind of got away from having that strong stability at the number two quarterback position over the last year or so, and they want to try to get back to that spot. And they do envision a role to some degree. And the two people that Doug Peterson has mentioned when talking about this would be Taysom Hill from New Orleans and Lamar Jackson, his first year in Baltimore when Joe Flacco was the starter, and kind of using him, whether it's in a two-quarterback look where you go in there in a wildcat situation, or and you have Carson Wentz kind of flank out wide. I mean, I think they're going to flirt with those kind of looks. Now, this bizarre offseason, you know, Jalen Hurts is going to be a little bit behind, so maybe does it shorten some of that? Possibly, but they are looking to implement him as a weapon into the offense his first year.
Does it do anything having him there as a takeaway from potential touches for a guy like Miles Sanders?
I don't think to any meaningful degree. Okay. They view Sanders as a guy that they want to get the ball in his hands as much as possible. And Sanders wants to be that Christian McCaffrey heavy workload out of the backfield, both as a runner and a pass catcher. And I think that they're going to feature him. And so it would probably be more in spots for Hurts where you wouldn't see a huge takeaway from Sanders.
There was some talk by some teams that maybe they'd like to push the NFL season back to, say, October 8th. I mean, some, not many, but some. Which seems to go counter to what we've heard about warm weather versus cold weather. A, did you hear anything about that? And B, what would your reaction be to it?
No, I haven't heard anything definitively on that front. You know, what I've heard so far from players is that they've been told, late July, one player mentioned the 28th and another one or two the 31st of when they're scheduled to report. And I think at least that was the mindset of recently as they were going to try to get back to camp and see how it goes. But as we know, it's a very it's an up in the air situation that nobody has the answer to. Will the season go off? When will it go off? I mean, I can't pretend to know that answer because I don't think anybody has that answer right now. So all things are really on the table. And if you have to push it back a little bit, to your point, you run into the colder weather, the talk of a potential second wave. I mean, I think any way you slice it, it's going to be, a huge undertaking to get the NFL season off and have it last throughout its entirety. I mean, I think we know the dynamics that are at play, the difficulty with the number of positive tests that have already appeared from small gatherings of NFL players and college football players. And so I think that, this is something that they're going to try to be as safe as possible to have a football season, but knowing that they're going to have to be very loose in terms of their flexibility to make sure that health and right judgment kind of leads the way.
How often would they be tested, Tim? Do you have any idea?
So there's been some talk about that. I think that at least once a week. I wouldn't be surprised if it were a little bit more. I don't know if it's hard and firm that they've come up with that number, but I think that especially for these kind of top tier, and you've seen the reports of how the personnel is going to be in tiers of players and coaches at the first one, and it goes down from there in terms of who's going to be allowed to be around these guys and how much contact they're allowed to have. And I think the more essential personnel in terms of on the football field, I would expect frequent testing that would probably be at least once a week.
You know, what's interesting about this is that you and I, of course, working in sports all the time, we pretty much know whether it's a clock or whether it's a race. We know where the finish line is. We have no idea where any line is right now. No idea where any line is.
No, you're right. And, with the NFL, they've had to, since all this stuff came out from a health perspective, I mean, they've been able to keep their primary dates kind of intact with their off-season events.
Yes.
They've had to change them, obviously, but, the free agency still went off and the draft went off. And now they're at least hoping that late summer still spells their training camp, and even though their virtual off-season was much different. But now, we're getting to the point where it's supposed to be – it's getting real. And you're supposed to have 90-plus, 90-man rosters all on the field together in pretty short amount of time. What is a very uncertain environment. So you're right. I mean, where's the starting line? Where's the finish line? I mean, that's a day-by-day question.
It sure is. Hey, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Of course. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.